episode 80 of the HodgePodge Podcast.
I'm Doug. I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Dope and Pixar's Inside Out. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe. And you finally can go back to YouTube because I've begun doing the backlog.
Oh,
yes.
Getting the old ones out there.
I just put out, I'm up to like summer of last year, basically. I'm putting.
Nice.
Yeah, so eventually they'll all be on YouTube forever and ever and ever, or at least until the world ends.
To listen to your heart's content.
Yes. So, some movie news before we get started with the two films we're talking about, and possibly other Pixar films if we wish to. It's kind of a lazy Sunday today. It's kind of sort of been confirmed that Hugh Jackman is going to be in Apocalypse.
It's like heavy on the rumor.
Yeah. They some company's supposed to be making a bag for him or something like that. And it's going to for him to film in Montreal, which is where they're filming the new X-Men movie. So it's almost pretty much a lock that he'll be in it.
Not that there was ever much doubt.
No. But the thing is, like, they keep on saying online, they're like, oh, it'll probably just be a cameo. And of course, I'm hoping for more than a cameo, right, considering where they left the last one. But we'll see. And then there was another rumor that came out about the new Wolverine movie. That it is possibly going to be a much older
Wolverine. Yeah.
The problem is the old man Logan comic book story. They really can't do that because it involves so many other characters from the Marvel Universe that they can't put into it. I wouldn't mind seeing a movie about old man Logan, but you can't do it the way they did in the comic book, which is good because, to be honest, the old man Logan story was better, I think, in, you know.
I believe the story would center around kids trying to get their frisbees back from his lawn.
Probably. It's The Sandlot, but with Wolverine as James Earl Jones. But the comic book, I felt, after I read it, the execution was left a lot to be desired. But the idea was really cool. But, as usual with Mark Miller, the execution wasn't all there. Which is usually the case when he does other people's characters. What else? Oh, the box office came in, the estimates are in, and Jurassic World is still on top. Last weekend, it beat Avengers. Avengers is
right. So it took its record
for the 3 day for the 3 day total
opening weekend.
Yeah. And this weekend, it made 102. They're estimating. Inside Out made 91, which on any other week would have been number one at the box office.
It's hard to take down Jurassic anything.
Well, it's not just that. It's that, you know, when they made so much that first weekend, I mean, even if they had just a 50% drop, you know, it's still so 100 million. It's still 100 million.
I mean, the movie was always going to be a juggernaut. So. No.
So both films doing well. Dope, the other movie we're going to talk about today, made about $6 million. If you've even heard of it. Unfortunately, we've just read that Me and Earl and the Dying Girl is not doing well, but they've only got it in 68 theaters.
Yeah. So it's such a phenomenal movie, but they Hollywood's Hollywood, so what are you going to do?
Probably because it has dying in the title. But
so depressing.
But it's not. It's great.
And so they're talking about her hair. She's dying her hair. Yeah.
So let's talk about Dope first, because I figure Inside Out we can kind of talk about other Pixar stuff and what's coming up for Pixar. But Dope is a movie that was written and directed by Rick Famuyiwa.
Famuyiwa.
Something like that, yeah.
Man, good luck with that one. That's a tough one. I hate to butcher his name because he did a good job.
It stars
Shameik Moore.
Yes, it stars Shameik Moore as Malcolm, and it also has Tony Revolori from the Grand Budapest Hotel, and Kiersey Clemons, and they play three high school age kids. They're seniors. They are nerds. They're geeks.
Yeah, they're geeks with a band.
Right. They have a band, and they're geeks for '90s hip hop culture. Yeah. So they wear
what they perceive.
Right. So Malcolm's got the flat top. He's rocking
very
the flat
kid
top.
Play.
Yeah, he's got that going on, and they wear the colorful clothes that you would have seen.
Yeah, the patchwork colors and all over the place.
Yeah, crazy colors and you know, that kind of stuff. And they get, you know, they're a tight knit group of friends. Kiersey Clemons. She plays a lesbian.
Yeah, token lesbian.
And that was the token lesbian.
I mean, seriously.
And one of the funniest scenes in the very beginning of the movie is when they show her grandmother, and they take her to church every week and try to pray the gay away.
Yeah, she's
it's fucking
like
hilarious.
She's staring at the like the preacher's wife or something like that, like in prayer circle.
It was funny. I laughed my ass off at that part. And then you've got other folks here. Zoe Kravitz shows up in this as Nakia.
Kind of an interesting girl.
Yeah, she's like the local hot girl, basically. But she's out of high school.
Yeah, trying to make it up. She's very poetic justice type of
character.
Right?
Yeah, she is.
They definitely made her look like, well, for me anyway... She looked almost a spitting image of Lisa Bonet from High Fidelity.
Right. Well, that would make sense. Considering that's her mother.
Yes. they basically gave her that exact look. And, I mean, she did a really good job. It was just, that was an interesting role there, given what was going on, I guess. Because she was clearly older.
Yes, she was. I would say she was probably like in her early 20s.
Yeah, and he was, just borderline 18, I guess.
Yeah, he was 17.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess synopsis of the movie: there are these geeky people. They're in. Where was this in?
Inglewood.
Yeah. So, basically. So, it's the life and times of these kids in this. Drug element urban environment and how they have to survive
right
at who they are
right because they very much are outcasts
because they are not of even outside of the the odd choice of pop culture they're given that they're just kind of brighter kids not brighter, that's more studious, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Kids.
Yes.
It's,
as they point out in the beginning.
Right. it's harder for them to fit in a basically a this bubble world where chaos reigns.
Right.
But I thought this was very reminiscent of Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing kind of a little bit. Had a little bit of that feel in there. Definitely not to that degree.
No, there's
it was certainly toned back.
Yeah,
and more humor there for sure. But it
I would say there's less racism in this one than there was.
Well, yeah, I mean, because
that was the main thing.
It is not Spike Lee,
right? No, because
that was his point.
Yeah,
right?
that was the main thing.
Right, that's not the point. That's not the overt point of this movie, but it's in there.
Yeah,
but. I think the director here, a first-time director, right?
Let me check.
I think he did a good job here. Let's see. Nope, not first-time director. He did a couple other ones. Brown Sugar, Our Family Wedding. So first one I've seen of his. It's a really good movie for me. It's not perfect. There are definitely some... what seemed to be some tonal miscues here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it fit together pretty nicely. And I certainly enjoyed myself when I watched it and walked out of it.
Yeah, so. I liked it. But it really... There were several times during the middle of the movie, I'm like, what is this movie about? I kind of got that vibe. I thought it was going to be more about the whole misfit vibe and them being like these... outcasts from their school and stuff like that, and all of a sudden it veers into like this drug story, and you're just like, wait, what? And it was very this was pointed out on Collider, Matt Goldberg's review, it's very much Risky Business. There's a real heavy, risky business. Girl next door.
I guess I saw they it might have been Goldberg's review where it was risky business mixed with and they gave some other 80s movie reference in there. And yeah, certainly. So I guess to get more detailed synopsis, these kids, led by Malcolm, who's clearly, he's the clear star of the movie.
Yeah.
It's basically, towards the end of their graduation from high school.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out college and what they're going to be doing afterwards. And Malcolm falls into, he doesn't fall into the gang, but he's in communications with one of the, one of Inglewood's drug leaders, right, if you will, gang leaders.
Yeah.
And he ends up at one of his parties.
Right.
To which it gets raided by a rival gang that's,
initially, yeah, and then the cops show up.
Right. So in all the chaos and confusion, the drug kingpin here stashes his heroin.
Was it Molly?
Yes, yeah. Right. It was Molly. In Malcolm's backpack.
Right.
Unbeknownst to him.
Right.
So then he picks up his backpack, leaves, goes to school the next day. You know, not knowing what's going on, and then realizing at some point,
what's in his bag,
I've got you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of drugs in my backpack here, and I don't know what to do with it. And then that's when the story starts spiraling with different people competing to get the drugs from him.
Right. And yeah, it's really,
it was a different movie than I thought, too, but that part of it was okay for me. It was just different from what I expected.
It was interesting, but also they really hit home, like, that whole Bitcoin thing, which is kind of, didn't that kind of, like, fall apart already, or is it starting to fall apart, or?
I haven't kept track of it. Yeah, what Doug's referring to is Malcolm's ingenious way of moving this product, because he's kind of forced to do that.
Didn't get that either. Like, I was just like, here's the bag, bye, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm not, the guy was basically blackmailing him, telling him he could get him into Harvard.
True.
It was the only way you're getting into Harvard is if you do this. Because,
true.
So it was basically blackmail. And his method of doing that was getting on the dark web and selling all this using Bitcoin on the dark web so it couldn't be traced, so the police couldn't trace it,
right,
essentially.
Yeah, and then, it was just, I did like it. I liked the characters a lot. I liked the three leads a lot.
Yeah. The characterizations were really good.
The guy who, Jacoby, that guy was weird.
Yeah, that's who I was referring to. He was the banker who was kind of, let's say, at some level, the true kingpin of the neighborhood.
Right.
He was the one who kind of, he probably laundered
the legit businessman.
He probably laundered all the money,
right,
and took care of it. And the street dealer who Malcolm was dealing with got put in jail.
Right.
So he called Malcolm and said, you just need to give this product to Jacoby. He'll take care of it.
Right.
Malcolm gets it to Jacoby, only to find out Jacoby's like, oh, don't bring this to me. You need to sell it yourself.
Yeah.
And then bring me the money. And he basically uses college as a blackmail for him, saying, you do this and, you know, you write your pass into Harvard, basically.
Yeah. And then the Zoe Kravitz character eventually shows up again, too.
She's the strange love interest of Malcolm.
Who
she strangely is attracted to him as well. And I guess it's just an intellectual thing. I mean, I'm not saying he's, it just, that seemed a little odd to me, just because I don't know, maybe it's not odd, maybe I'm just so far removed from that element that I don't understand. But
and there are some like interesting adventures that they get into throughout this, but there's always like this like sinister underlying thing.
It has tonal issues on occasion, mixing the humor with this serious, this real serious thing that's going on.
Yeah.
But because of the way the humor is played, you don't always truly you don't always feel the peril that's actually really there the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of slightly to the movie's detriment.
Yeah.
It is a very serious thing happening.
Yeah, because the guys, I guess they were with the Bloods, the guys that were in the red car,
right. They
were almost like from straight out of Friday, almost.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's like, it didn't gel for me. And I liked it overall, but, I see it's getting like a lot of rave reviews somewhere. I'm just like,
it wasn't perfect. See the same movie. I think I probably liked it better than you.
Probably.
But either way, it is a solid movie.
Yeah.
And it's worth seeing. You just probably, some of you might like a little better than others.
Yeah.
But it's not a perfect movie, but it does tie together nicely, especially at the end. It's got a couple good twists in there that you sort of see some of them coming. You know to some degree what's coming, but. And then, you know, the very end I thought was pretty poignant when he talks about when Malcolm's his final monologue, when he talks about, you know, and why are we talking about me trying to get into Harvard? He basically is like, you know, if I was white, it wouldn't even be in question.
Right.
Why I want to be in Harvard. So.
No, you're right. No,
although I'll say this. I don't know. I thought his first essay may have been better.
What now? What'd you say?
I think his first essay may have been better.
Yeah.
His first essay into college was basically he was trying to nail down and analyze
Ice Cube's Good Day.
Like what was the good day? And his the guidance counselor was like, you know, you need to take this more serious.
Right.
And so, you know, his final paper he rewrote, and of course at the very beginning, that's what I knew that was gonna tie all this together. I looked at my friend and I said, yeah, that thesis paper is going to come back around at the end. I guarantee you that much.
All I can say is, I can't eat my pound cake.
Yeah.
So Dope, Dirty A is giving it a very, very pretty positive review. I'm positive, but a little more mixed.
I'd you know, if I did rate things, I'd probably call this somewhere between a B and a B+.
So I'd probably go more B-.
Yeah.
But again, still in the B range.
Yeah.
Go for the characters, because the characters are great.
Yeah, they're great.
The actors, the young actors are great in this.
And in a lot of ways, that's what the movie's about anyways. It's the people.
And Blake Anderson from Workaholics shows up in it.
Yeah, he's good.
Three quarters through the movie to become a very pivotal character.
Yeah, he's funny, right? He's the one who helps Malcolm
move the drugs.
Get the Bitcoin set up and everything. Right. He's a hacker of sorts.
So let's move from a small movie that's probably not going to get as much attention as it should to...
I mean, hell, you compare it to most of the shit that comes out these days.
It's fucking gold, because at least
it's original.
I mean, well, yeah.
Well,
I mean, like I said, it's an urban flavored risky business slash girl next
door. It's certainly inspired by and infused with a little bit of Singleton and Spike Lee.
It's like if John Singleton directed Risky Business, basically.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a good tagline.
There you go.
But let's move to a movie that is not only a much bigger movie as far as box office and reach and all that stuff, but also one of the best movies of the year, I would argue, possibly even the best movie I've seen so far this year, and that is Pixar Disney's Inside Out.
Yeah,
this movie is, I when I saw Rotten Tomatoes and that the rating had gone from 100 to 99, I was like, who said something bad about this movie? It's like, who said something bad
it's
about
actually
this movie?
98 now.
Oh my god. This movie is, if you love early Pixar movies like Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., The Incredibles, those movies, Finding Nemo, and then the middle period ones, WALL-E, Up, you're going to love Inside Out.
Yeah, it's very return to form for Pixar
after
a couple of misses and near misses, misfires.
Yeah, the last three movies that they've done, they did Cars 2, Brave, and Monsters University.
And let's face it, Cars 2 was purely a...
That was purely driven by sell toys. Brave was kind of a misfire. I like the fact that they finally had a female protagonist, but I felt they Disneyfied it too much. I felt that a Pixar movie should have more edge to it. And then you've got Monsters University, which was a perfectly fine movie if it had come out before Monsters, Inc. See, for me, it being a prequel hurt it. I almost feel like they should have done it like they went back to school or something like that after working. Or something. That would have been interesting. Yeah. Like, what was that? What was that thing where they were like, like Community, where they should have made like Community, yeah. where oh, you never really got your degree, you need to go back to school. That would have been funny. But because it was a prequel, you know, you're like, oh man, I wonder if it's all going to work out for them. Oh yes, they're going to be running Monsters Inc. in a few years. It does all work out for them. So. But Inside Out is very much a return to form for Pixar. It is directed, and one of the co-writers is Pete Docter, and he was the director of the Oscar-winning Up and the Oscar-ignored Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm. And you can, his stamp's all over this emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a really, really sweet movie. It's a very cute movie, but... as you said, because we didn't see this together. Right. We met up at the theater because you were walking out
I was coming in as you guys were coming.
And and then you were like, you know, it handles, it's a very adult themes, but it's great for kids, and they really did
perfect blend of that.
Oh my god, it was perfect. Like the way that when they finally, I don't want to spoil anything, but when they finally. Figure when Joy's character, who's played by Amy Poehler, when she finally figures out why sadness is important, and I mean they really distilled it down perfectly for kids to get it.
Yeah, and even if they don't get it, they don't have to. It's you know that's a little heavy for the younger kids, and that's fine because the rest of it is for the young kids.
Right.
But this theme that even us as 30-plus-year-olds we grasp and today is very poignant. It really grabs you.
The movie is basically, you know, and we're talking about this movie, but we haven't really said what it's basically
Herman's
about.
Head.
That's my friend Jack says. That's what my friend Jack says. He goes, it's Herman's Head.
It's Herman's Head.
Basically, for those of you who don't know, Herman's Head was a Fox show in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Early 90s.
And it was basically this guy, and like, his emotions were personified in his head by different actors. This is pretty much the same thing. There's a little girl named Riley. She is 11.
Yeah, 11 years old.
And her emotions, and they do the whole Up thing. You know, not that anybody dies in the beginning of the movie like an Up, but they do the whole thing where they start out with her being born, and then Amy Poehler is her main emotion, which is joy. And then she comes into being as the baby's born. And it's really cute. And then other emotions come along.
Within 5 seconds, all of a sudden, sadness rolls in.
Yeah.
She's just there. Amy Poehler looks down just like, oh, when did you get here? And all of a sudden, the baby's like,
Sadness is played by Phyllis Smith from The Office, and she's perfect. And all the voice actors are perfect.
Yeah.
Bill Hader, he plays Fear. Mindy Kaling plays Disgust, which it... Her character was a little... They had to kind of...
That was the weakest of them because it's the hardest to really...
Right, to really define.
But then you had Lewis Black as Anger.
Perfect. And Lewis Black was Anger, and perfect. He was perfect.
I mean, He is Anger.
He's just Anger. I'm looking at IMDb, and there's a poster of him right now with his flames coming out of his head. Yeah. He's like, ah! Yeah. And so what happens is that Riley's family moves from Minnesota to San Francisco. Her father moves for a job, and Joy is basically like the leader of their team, and they work in what's called Riley's quote control room.
Right.
Everybody has them because they go into the parents' minds, which is in that great trailer that they put out where they show. And that's when I knew that this was going to be a good movie for adults too, because that scene is hilarious.
It is, but that's actually one of the only scenes that was truly adult.
You know,
the rest of it was mostly broad kid.
Yeah, but that's what Pixar does great.
That's not a knock.
Yeah, I mean they always do stuff that like is funny on a different level for adults, but it's just as funny for kids.
But yeah, the mind is run like a big control room for everybody. It's just that this movie focuses on Riley's mind, for the most part, and then it leaps into a few other minds. And the end was great too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. And then what happens is that they have different memories the humans have different memories that they keep stored, and at the end of the night when they go to sleep, then the emotions send them to, quote, long-term memory, which is a whole different part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And but they also have what they have, the core memories. Yeah. And the core memories basically make up who you are as a person. So Riley has one for family, and she has one memory for hockey because she's a big hockey fan. She plays hockey. They have a goofy one where she's just silly and crazy.
And it starts out with these core memories. They're all happy.
Yes, they're all happy memories.
Which is, that was the one part that's odd to me. I mean, I've rationalized it now, but like, not to get too spoilery, but you know, sadness will touch a memory and it'll turn sad. But the same thing didn't happen with fear, or, you know what I'm saying?
That's kind of the point of the movie, though.
Well, right, but you know, that was odd to me at first, but it was, towards the end you realize why.
Right. And that's what happens. Sadness touches one of the core memories, and it turns blue, because they're all yellow, because they're joy, because joy's yellow, and so that they turn blue. And then they can't turn it back. And they
don't know what's going on.
And they don't know what's going on. And then there's a mishap, and basically joy and sadness get sucked out of the control room with all the core memories out into the brain. Yeah. And they need to get back home, which is a very Finding Nemo type.
Yeah, so the bulk of the movie,
or any Pixar movie for that matter, because Toy Story, you know,
they're all Woody, yeah, they all Buzz, you know. The general themes are all the same, but the mass plot of this movie is joy and sadness trying to work their way through the brain to get back to the control room, and as they do that. Riley's external
behavior
is you know
affected.
Affected.
Because basically what she's got now is fear, anger, and disgust running the control room, and they're not doing a good job.
I'm just saying, looking at this through adult eyes, mm-hmm. like when she was on the bus at that one point, yeah. I'm like, she is literally one step away from being a streetwalker.
Yeah, that's right.
Like I was like, this is where this is going.
Right.
This is what they're saying, is that this is where these runaways become basically fucking hookers.
Yeah. Nice. Pixar. Pixar.
See the possible hookers. It was, though. I was like,
I know,
it was scary. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, that's why it's for adults and for
kids. But yeah, kids wouldn't pick up on that.
No,
I'm sitting there watching it going, oh, my God. They went somewhere really dark.
She's about to become Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver.
Exactly.
They got to work their way back, and then they meet, along the way, they meet Bing Bong.
Bing Bong! Richard Kind.
Richard Kind, who is...
my favorite character. I love some Bing Bong.
Bing Bong was great.
He played her imaginary
best friend
growing up, and so obviously, since she's gotten a little older now, he's not forgotten.
Right.
He's not forgotten, but he's just kind of wandering,
right,
if you will.
And, I have to be honest, I guess this could be a little spoilerish, a little bit. So minor spoilers right here. I thought that Bing Bong at some point was going to turn into a villainous character at one point.
Oh, yeah?
Just because I thought he was going to be jealous of them. But it turns out he's just a very sweet character.
There wasn't a...
Like when he said, oh, she can't fit in my... spaceship now. I was like,
I never picked up on that.
Well, because now, I'm always waiting with Pixar movies for the other shoe to drop.
Like Bing Bong trying to
muscle in, maybe.
Get himself back.
Right,
and
right.
He would...
Because I mean, because like with Toy Story, you know, you've got like in Toy Story 2, you've got, you know, the prospector, and then you've got you know, the Hugs a Lot guy. You
sure.
know, they always have the guy who kind of turns.
And to this movie's credit, they didn't do that.
They didn't do that, which was great because I love
this movie
Bing
doesn't
Bong.
Really have a central villain.
Yeah, there's no, yeah, it's...
And that's because the point of the movie is based on your emotions, you're your own worst enemy.
Right.
You're fighting against yourself all the time.
Right.
And that's the point here, and great message. So there was no external villain to really focus on.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a really, really funny movie, really sweet film, and it will make you cry. It will definitely make you cry by the end.
I'm sitting there by myself in the movie theater full of kids and stuff, and I'm like...
That's why you're really sad.
Well, that was the second reason.
Oh, yeah.
And then I start feeling embarrassed. Like, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, no one's seeing me. Watching me cry.
Diane Lane is in this. She plays the mother. Kyle MacLachlan plays the father. You know, there's all kinds of different voice actors in it and stuff like that. Just really, really great, great film from Pixar. It really, like Dirty said, it really harkens back to the older Pixar movies.
Oh, absolutely. This is them doing what they do best. And like you said, Dr. Peter, what's his
name? Pete Doctor.
Pete Doctor, yeah. He's a big part of that.
Yeah. And like I said, for me, as of right now, it's the best movie of the year. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I just because I have lost a little bit of appeal for animated movies since you know the original Pixar's.
Right.
I still say the best one's probably The Earl and the Dying Girl for me. This is certainly right up there.
Yeah, me and Earl's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, there's really not much fault in this movie. It's a masterful piece of animation.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, Pixar movies they never get old. They're just they're great, great.
Well, films. The good ones.
The good ones, yeah. They're great, great films. But I mean, there's more good ones, and I mean, no, obviously
sure.
more good ones.
No, for sure. But like, I don't need to see Cars 2 ever again.
Yeah, like Collider ranked. They ranked the movies, and even like I was like, they put Bug's Life like second to last. I'm like, I like the Bug's Life. It was good. It was cute.
That might for be me the two more towards the bottom.
For me the two. Well, point. I mean, it's not. It's not as good as like the Toy Stories.
Right.
And, you know,
oh
and,
God.
Toy and but I mean, but for me,
still,
for
Toy
me,
Story,
the,
hands
the,
down is my
the,
favorite.
The two bottom ones are Cars 2, followed by Cars, followed by you
yeah,
know.
I agree.
You know the last two, Brave and Monsters yeah. University, and then from there it gets a little difficult. To yeah.
Toy Story is still my.
I mean,
favorite, love it.
Wally is
Wally. Oh, Wally too.
Wally,
yeah. For me, that's almost a different kind of movie altogether.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's yes, it's Pixar, but it is very
well. Amazing. That's when they kind of went into their because like originally they were like kids' movies that adults would get.
Right.
And then in the middle, and then the early, I would say the middle 2000s, they kind of went into like an artistic period where they had like Ratatouille,
yep.
Wally.
They were clearly. Designed more for adults than the predecessors.
Right.
Still for kids, absolutely.
Right.
But they certainly infused more adult themes in right. than before.
Yeah, and especially Up, too. I mean,
yeah.
That
oh,
opening,
God.
That opening
oh, my
sequence
God.
Up.
I was fucking tearing up.
And people were crying in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, my God. I was like, is this where this is going?
And I love that movie. For me, Up is the closest that Pixar's ever gotten to an Indiana Jones adventure. I love Russell, and I love Carl, and I thought that was... just a great,
yeah,
great movie.
That opening 5-3 minutes is
yeah.
just wow.
Yeah, it's tough. it's tough to watch. But they, I mean, they did that with Finding Nemo too. Finding Nemo was very
yes,
much like,
they did.
But
this one was
a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And Finding Nemo is great too.
Finding Nemo is great. I think Finding Nemo gets a little bit. I mean, when you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, that really was a great movie. But I think it gets a little bit of flack a little bit because it was so popular. Like when Finding Nemo came out, I mean, it
so
was
Toy Story.
Yeah, but Toy Story, no, but Finding Nemo was, like, everywhere. Like, I mean, like, and maybe I was more affected by it because I had nephews, and
yeah,
they watched it all the time, so it's like,
maybe.
But it's like, I mean, it was on the beach blankets, and it was over here, and it
yeah.
was on this, and it was on that, Finding Nemo this, Finding
but
Nemo
not,
that,
it's just
everywhere.
It's a very solid movie that was just, sure, like you said, maybe it was over-marketed at some point,
mm-hmm.
but still, it's right up there.
Oh, it's. I mean, it was great. And then they have, now the next movie they've got coming out, comes out this year. Good Dinosaur. This is a movie that has had...
Which is interesting, they got two back-to-back.
They've never done that before.
No,
they've never done
first.
That before. And the reason why is because A Good Dinosaur was supposed to come out last year.
Right.
But they had severe, severe production problems. The director got fired, basically, and
they lost a dinosaur to Jurassic World.
That's right.
Dropped out of the cast at the last minute.
Well, no, speaking of that, they basically have recast the whole thing, and there's new, a whole brand new voice cast coming in.
Yep.
So that... big problems on this one, so it's gonna be interesting to see where it goes. The story is interesting, and in that they basically the premise is that the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs misses Earth, and now the dinosaurs it's not like Cars where they're like in buildings and stuff like that, but it's like the dinosaurs are the anthropomorphic characters in this. They do the talking, and there are humans, but from what I understand, the little kid who's like the main kid in it, he doesn't really talk. Like, he grunts and stuff like that, like a caveman.
Right.
And the, but the dinosaurs talk, and they're like, you know,
they're the ones evolving, like basically.
Right, right. So and it's about a dinosaur and a apatosaurus.
So it's Planet of the Apes meets Land Before Time.
A little bit, yeah. It's about an apatosaurus and his pet boy. This is my boy Sherman. Hello. And then I think next year they've got Finding Dory is coming out, which is the sequel to.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's the sequel to Finding Nemo.
Okay. I mean, I personally prefer the original Pixar movies to the sequels.
Well, that's also part of their deal with Disney. Because Disney is basically like, we want
built-in marketing.
Yeah, we want sequels and stuff like that. Sure. And so that's why I think Inside Out is so good, because this is one of the original ones they're doing as opposed to doing a sequel.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're always kind of a mix of this kind of thing. But they definitely do it better when they're working with original material in my book.
There's a Toy Story 4 coming out eventually. Now, I'm not sure...
Oh God, I mean,
I'm not sure what it's about.
I love all of them.
Right.
But I wish they'd quit while they're ahead on that.
I got to be honest. I wouldn't mind. See, from what I understand from the plot, is that it's not going to be about Woody and Buzz.
No. It's going to be in that world. It's going to supposedly be brand new toys.
Right. So and that's
it's
fine.
More of a spinoff.
Right. That's fine. But I got to say, I love all these little shorts they've done with the toys on ABC. They did like a Halloween special. I think they did a Christmas special.
Yeah, they've been
great. They were hilarious. They were so good.
Yeah. And it's good. I like bringing them back in the little doses.
Right.
And again, a spinoff is better than bringing back these same characters again.
And of course...
You know what we didn't talk about real quick? Speaking of the shorts.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, and the short in front of... In front of Inside Out.
Lava.
Yeah.
That was going to make me cry too.
It was real cute. It was.
It was.
It was an island.
A volcano.
A volcano, you know, who's kind of all alone.
In the ocean,
And kind of pining over having... a friend, mate, whatever.
Right.
And but you know, he's an island in an ocean. What are you going to do? And then down below the deep waters, there's a female volcano hearing him sing, and then she explodes and rises up as he is falling down into the ocean.
There's
and,
something in my eye.
And for a second, you're like, "Well, fuck you, Pixar. What the fuck are you doing, man? Destroy all these kids here. Like, you're basically teaching them that you can't love. Love all you want, but it's going to be taken away." And then, as he's below and she's above, she starts singing his song again, which makes him boil up to back to the top. And
Spoiler alert!
Pretty cute.
It was very cute. It was very sweet.
Still, it was sweet, but not near one of my favorites, but it was sweet.
No,
I liked the paper chase was one of my
favorites. Oh, with the paper airplane?
Yeah,
that was good. That was a good one. Yeah. That was a really good one. I liked that one a lot.
That was in front of the...
Monsters University?
Yeah. Was it Monsters University? Is that the last... What was the...
That was the last Pixar one.
Yeah. I guess
but no. Paper... That was before... I want to say Wreck-It Ralph? Was it
Wreck-It Ralph?
I can't remember.
So
well,
because that was
more of a Disney thing than a Pixar
maybe,
thing.
Maybe it was. That was one of my favorite ones. That was really good.
Because what they did is they did 2D animation again, but they made it kind of like in the computer. It was weird. Yeah. It was interesting. But that was really good. The paper airplane one was really good.
Yeah, this short clearly reminded me of like Lilo and Stitch because it's all.
There's all Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, no? That's a cute one. You'd like it just because of the
character.
The aliens are cute.
Yeah. But and also, which we mentioned on our Tomorrowland episode, the other
Why
Pixar movie.
Bring that back up.
The other Pixar movie that is coming down the road, Incredibles 2. Brad
Pitt.
Brad Bird. Brad Pitt. What I'm doing with Incredibles 2 is
Plan B. Incredibles 2.
Plan B. Incredibles 2.
They're fighting zombies
and they're selling drugs. No, Brad Bird has said that he's doing a script and they're getting rolling on Incredibles 2 finally. People have been waiting for this one forever. And I gotta be honest,
really good one.
I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel to Inside Out if they had her growing up a little bit. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, going basically.
So you mean high school or something?
It's cute
like that.
Where this one ends off. Right. Where they get this brand new console. You're right. And there's this giant button labeled puberty.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know what that one does. It's probably not important. It's real cute. And they could do that. Have her going into puberty. That would be cute.
She could go into high school.
It doesn't even have to be her. I mean, you could.
That's true. But they would probably want to keep the same cast. Yeah. But they could have her go into high school, and she can meet the kids from Dope.
That's right.
It would be PG-13.
Well, it would also be fun to play with the idea of the emotions growing up as well.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's what happens.
They'd be a lot different.
Because that's what happens.
Over two, right?
Yeah.
That would be a lot less of a kid movie, though. That would be hard to steer towards preteens and you know, your 6-year-olds if you're talking about a girl going into high school and the types of things.
Yeah.
I just had my period.
Anyway. Thanks for ruining that.
That's where I go with Pixar movies. Speaking of Inside Out, when you were watching that, I mean, it's the audience really engaged with the movie when I was in there.
Yeah.
Everyone's loved it. Even the kids shut the fuck up and watched the movie, which was...
We had one kid who would not shut up, but that was a little kid that you're like, you shouldn't even brought that kid in here.
Yeah.
Even to this movie.
Oh, bing bong.
So I'll do it for this episode. And our next one, not sure what it'll be yet. I know Ted 2 is coming out this week, so I'm sure we'll be going to see that. Dirty A looks thrilled to
I'm
see
excited.
That.
I like Ted. This one looks just as funny to me.
The most, I mean, the best part of that trailer is, dun dun, do some lawyering. Oh, yeah.
The new trailer.
When they do
the Law and Order thing.
Song. Right there, it's the Law and Order.
Yeah, that was fun. Now, I still like that when they run back and forth on being a lawyer.
Yeah.
Subpoena.
Yeah.
Sidebar. Briefcase. To be a lawyer.
Shut up. It's in my eye. So Ted 2 comes out, and we'll probably be talking about that next time.
That's it next week.
I believe so. That's later. I was like, there's some horror movie. That's later.
The Gallows?
Yeah.
That's the 10th, I think.
Yeah, that's 10. Yeah. I'll be seeing Minions that day.
Yeah, something else comes out on the 10th. Is that, Genesis, that's later.
Genesis is July 1st. But,
July 1st, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now that's July 1st. And, of course, the movie you're most looking forward to this whole year, Magic Mike XXL, comes out that day, too. I don't get that trailer. It's like I understand ladies want to see it. I understand that, you know. But here's the thing.
I have even heard that the plot of Magic Mike was not terrible.
I've heard it's a good movie.
But I'll never know.
But see, here's the thing. But here's the thing I don't understand about the trailer for this new movie. All this new trailer is these guys just, like, thrusting their junk wherever they are. This guy's, like, buffing metal and shit like that, and he's thrusting his junk. I'm like, dude, you're gonna cut your dick off. What are you doing? Calm down. So I'm just like, this makes no sense. You're gonna take away your moneymaker. So, do you want... Dirty A just showed me something that he might want to read.
This just in. Young Anakin Skywalker actor arrested after crazy car chase. This is just like a pod racer.
This is pod racing!
Oh. Young Anakin Skywalker is in the lead! Oh my goodness! I've never seen a human like this before! Oh!
This little human is out of his mind! Oh, I can't wait till we do the Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there will be tears and blood. Well, that's great news. Good for him. Glad he's...
He's back in the news.
He's back in the news. I can be in the new Star Wars
making himself relevant yet again.
And that'll do it for episode 80 of Pod.